Right now, we're going to go ahead and bring in our next live guest, and we've got Noy Mahoney joining us to talk more about the Panama Canal, where they could certainly use some of this rain that we have down here. And unfortunately, they're not quite going to get it. And Noy, thank you for being here. The good news is we might be looking at an alternative, and that would involve something going on in Mexico. What can you tell us?
Yes, that's right. Well, Mexico aims to compete with the Panama Canal using cargo trains. The Mexican government is currently constructing the Isthmus of Tehuantepec Interoceanic Corridor. It's an initiative to create a 188-mile rail line connecting the Pacific Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico. The isthmus represents the shortest distance in Mexico between those two bodies of water. Mexican authorities hope that the project will create a major logistics hub in the global supply chain, very similar to the Panama Canal.
So obviously this is a pretty big deal because it involves a ton of infrastructure build out. They're talking about the hopes to handle up to 1.4 million TEUs annually by 2033, so in about a 9-year span. What does that infrastructure development look like in that part of Mexico right now? When you're talking about building a corridor, it's not just the rail corridor, right? It's the ports on either side, and then it's the intermodal terminals, and then it's everything in between.
Yeah, that's correct. Right now, that part of southern Mexico has a lot of infrastructure needs, to say the least. It's historically been some of the least developed and poorest parts of Mexico, those states in southern Mexico. And the two ports that are there existing, one of them is called the Port of Salina Cruz, which is on the Pacific coast, and the Port of Quetzalcoatl, I hope I'm saying that right, this is on the Gulf Coast. They're very small ports at the moment, so they still have a lot of investments that's needed to really beef them up, beef up their cargo capacity. And as you mentioned, Mexican authorities hope that, within 9 years, the rail line can handle about, over a million TEUs per year. That's still very, very small compared to the Panama Canal. You know, the average cargo train can carry about, 240 containers if they're double stacked. Whereas if you look at a ship on the Panama Canal, those ultra large ships can carry anywhere from 18,000 to 24,000 containers. So there's a huge difference in capacity. And I should mention that a lot of, major shippers and logistic professionals are a little skeptical that the isthmus can ever really compete with the Panama Canal. They believe more it can be sort of a complement or, a sort of alternative when, there are situations like we have now where the Panama is, facing droughts that are lowering the water level and reducing capacity through the channel at the moment.
And of course, one of the benefits to using the canal is the fact that it cuts down on transit times, right? Because you are keeping your goods all on one specific vessel. You are now cutting the distance in half, whether you would have to go around Africa or around South America instead. But when you're talking about now using this as an alternative, it involves two different modes of transport. So your goods that are on your ship vessel, you have to then take them off, put them onto a train, reload them on the second piece just to get it to go north-south back on a ship again. Is there any indication that there would be any major investment by any of the railroads who have created a north-south corridor, maybe reaching down into southern Mexico so those goods could, say, come off of a vessel, move onto a train, and then head north-south on a train instead of having to be reloaded onto a different vessel?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I haven't seen any announcements from any of the major railroads on those kinds of investments that you just mentioned, intermodal investments that would be needed to make this a viable project. I know the Mexican authorities have been offering tax incentives and all sort of, enticements to try to bring more investments just like those to that region. One of the interesting things, I spoke with Pawan Joshi. He is he's from E2 Open, and he's one of the logistics professionals for that company. And he said, something to keep in mind too is if you create this, massive infrastructure rail project and everything, you need to invest in technology that can handle, the capacity, but you need to also be aware that when you bring, more trucks, more CO2 you know, with those rail projects, that could also affect, you know, the drought situation in Panama. So you have to be wary, you have to be aware of, you know, bringing the right technology, maybe green technology, that doesn't affect situation in Panama, which is, you know, already facing drought situations. You don't want to exacerbate that by bringing more CO2 to the region, which I thought was an interesting point.
So, of course, for a massive project like this to be successful, there is that requirement for a public-private partnership, and not just necessarily from the public side of the country where it's in, right? You might have to see some foreign investment in that as well. Is that something that we're looking at being a necessity to make this happen? Is that public-private partnership and potentially the input from other countries?
Yeah, right now, Mexico seems to be footing the bill for this massive project, but I'm sure they hope that, you know, the U.S. will be a major beneficiary of this project if it goes off the way the Mexican government hopes. And I'm sure they hope that the U.S. authorities or major U.S. corporations will chip in or, you know, take part in this project. I do believe there's a viability to the project. I don't think it could ever compete with the Panama Canal, but in situations like we have now with, you know, the Red Sea conflict and other things and going on around the world, I think we do need alternatives to the Panama Canal where we don't just have a situation where when there's a drought or situations that, you know, reduce capacity in that channel, that there's nothing we can do. If we have other alternatives like a rail system that could help keep the supply chains moving to where, you know, it benefits all countries.
So the last piece of the conversation that I want to have about this one involves nearshoring and reshoring. And the fact that, as you mentioned, that southern part of Mexico where this project would potentially live is really underdeveloped when it comes to infrastructure. We see that with a lot of these companies choosing to nearshore or reshore, picking our northern border states because of proximity and because of that infrastructure is a little bit more developed. Does this now, if the project truly happens, provide more incentive to see, I guess, kind of more broad development when it comes to those companies nearshoring and reshoring, and gives them an option to move not only to the northern border states, but also all across Mexico?
Yeah, you know, it's the project has been in the work. The rail project has been in the work for several years, but it seems to have come along sort of at a you know, good time in terms of, as you mentioned, with all of the spotlight on Mexico because of nearshoring. And one of the components of this interoceanic corridor is creating a major logistic park all along the, you know, 188-mile rail corridor. And the hope is that manufacturers, shippers would build, you know, manufacturing facilities all along the you know, rail corridor. And that could be a part of the nearshoring push, you know, major manufacturers, automotive manufacturers or electronics manufacturers, if they were to build, you know, major facilities all along that corridor, that would be a great push, you know, for the project. And it would also create, you know, more need for intermodal, as you said, moving northward to the United States. So, you know, nearshoring and this interoceanic corridor seem to be a good fit, so to speak.
It's going to be interesting to see how this project gets off the ground and what that means and if it could be a true viable option to divert that canal. Noy, of course, you've got Borderlands that's coming up to be released over the weekend. Can you give us a sneak peek about what's in that newsletter this week?
Yeah, interestingly, Continental Tire just announced a major new factory in Mexico, which I think is very interesting. It's in Aguascalientes, which is sort of central Mexico, but it's sort of like, as you mentioned, nearshoring. That it's probably tied to nearshoring and the creation of more opportunities in Mexico because of that.
All right. And we can, of course, catch that coming out tomorrow morning on FreightWaves.com. Noy, thank you for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with our next carrier update right after this.